Most relationship advice assumes that you are neurotypical, but what happens if you or your partner has got ADHD, autism, or some other kind of neurodivergence? That same advice can actually destroy your relationship. Today, we're going to talk about it.
Welcome to Late Bloomers, where we are getting our lives together.
Eventually, brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Loop Earplugs.
I don't like that.
Oh, sorry. Why no, not?
I don't. That's horrible.
Big sorry to to everyone there. Okay, so listen. This is big.
Yeah, huge. How many have we got?
We've got five lies. Things that we've just believed from birth in a neurotypical society about what makes a happy, healthy, functioning relationship and why. It's just a load of rubbish when it comes to us wonky brains.
Probably not birth though, is it? Because you wouldn't know any of it at birth. So like when you're a bit older, maybe thinking about relationships, maybe 13, 14.
This is why these rules are needed. So you ready for lie? Big old neurotypical lie number one.
Yes.
It's kind of a two-parter.
Okay.
If they wanted to, they would. And if they cared, they'd remember.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm hoping this is a lie because if how you cared for me was based on your memory, you do not hold me at high regard. Mm. So we're talking birthdays, anniversaries.
Everything. You know that, like, if they wanted to, they would. It's like if a guy hasn't bought you the flowers or whatever, if they wanted to, they would. It just assumes we're all the same and it assumes negative impact if someone isn't doing something.
I mean, that phrase is ridiculous because if they wanted to, they would is true. Like, the reason that they aren't is that they don't want to.
No, because I would want to never forget an anniversary or a birthday.
Oh, okay. I stand corrected. I was thinking of flowers though. I don't buy you flowers.
I wouldn't. What a perfect example, by the way. It seems like buying flowers, it seems like romantic. If someone buys me flowers, I'm like, oh no, it's a task. Because you have to cut the ends, find a jug to put it in, fill up the water, and then it's going to die. It's like a task.
And they're a nightmare because they go all dry and then we leave them too long and then they disintegrate all over the counter and then they take up loads of valuable bin space.
So yeah, because they're all sticky. So look, this lie number one, if they wanted to, they would. If they cared, they'd remembered. It's like, yeah, anniversaries might be texting all day, every day, might be popping to the shop to get toilet roll and coming back without it.
Yeah, and I think this is, so we struggled with this at the start of our relationship, and I'm sure most people that are in a relationship with an ADHD person will struggle with this until they reframe it in their mind that it doesn't mean that they don't care when they forget some stuff.
So neurotypical society basically says that somebody's memory is a measure of how much they love you.
Yeah.
And that assumes that everyone's got the same access to memory. And if someone forgets, they've done it on purpose.
Yeah.
And actually, we don't all have the same access to memory.
No, we do not. Unfortunately, we do not. Your life would be a lot easier, not just in this lane, if you did have a memory that was
functional at all.
Yeah.
Like, I am going to, like, be a bit of a hater right now.
Towards who?
My own memory.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like, I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate how forgetful. I lose my phone 10 times a day in my own house.
Your phone has got worse recently. So, like, on filming days, I think you'll say, where's my phone, 15 times.
Yeah.
Like, immediate. Like, you had it 5 seconds ago, and you're like, oh, where's my phone? And you, it could be genuine. We could spend 10 minutes looking for it.
No, it's always genuine. This is the thing I wish people understood about ADHD. it never gets better. You never learn from the mistake. Oh, you've lost your phone 15 times. Maybe remember, no, it's always there. It's constant. And it makes you feel rubbish. And if I wanted to, I would know, because this memory box is broken and I'm sorry.
I think we should find a way of attaching it to you.
Yeah. Like a wrist strap or something.
Yeah.
Or like an arm pocket.
Or waist or belt or so, there's something.
I'm down because I can't keep going like this.
Right.
I've triggered myself. Anyway, so that's the first lie.
Right, lie number two.
No.
Oh, what?
No. We need the neurodivergent reframe, the neurodivergent rule.
Oh, God.
To have in its place. You ready?
Yeah.
Love isn't measured by memory. It's measured by repair and effort.
That's a bit long, isn't it?
It's not as good as if they wanted to, they would.
Long.
But like, basically, don't judge memory. Is the person trying? Is this poor little bugger trying their best?
Can somebody think of a better way to frame that though?
That is the poor bugger trying their best.
Because no one's remembering that. What?
We've all got bad memories.
Literally.
No one's remembering anything. But like, the whole point is, right, remember that time when I got the wrong train home and I ended up turning up late to our anniversary dinner?
Yeah.
I was genuinely, I didn't turn up and go like, yeah, like ADHD time blindness, like what are you going to do? I was like in tears. I was so sorry. How can I make it up to you? How do I stop this from happening? Like, you could see that I was devastated by turning up late to that dinner.
Yes.
So that's all I'm saying. Like, is the poor little bugger trying this?
No, I know what you're saying. You've just chosen to basically effectively say memory doesn't matter. You've chosen the most difficult phrase to remember. So that's all I'm saying.
On to lie number
two. No, don't stop whispering. Sorry. It's horrible. People, no. Yeah. Right. Can I go lie number two now?
Yeah.
Have you got the reframing of all of these?
No, you've got them written on the bottom of your card.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Perfect. That one's long as well. Right. Lie number two. Never go to bed angry.
Right. Well, I've believed that my whole life as a sweet little rule of love. Never go to bed on an argument.
The thing is, if we have an argument, which is very rare.
A bit more frequent these days.
Yeah. If you're telling me to force through the argument to a conclusion before I go to bed, it's going badly. Like, sometimes that's exactly where I need to be, is in bed.
I have tried to do this with you. Like, I want this resolved now. Talk to me. And it just doesn't, if you are still really annoyed and working out the logics in your head, like, you'll be like, I'm still really upset with you. So no, I don't want to talk to you. Like,
yeah,
I kind of understand the premise, right? And I think I used to think of it like, maybe this is really dark, says something about me. If someone died in their sleep, you wouldn't have wanted to go to bed on an argument.
That's really dark.
Is it?
Yeah. I get the logic, but yeah. So don't go to bed in an argument just in case you die.
I think about you and me dying a lot. Obviously, because my mum died when I was younger. So I think that it does mess up your brain. So that's maybe not what they meant. Maybe they just mean, what do they mean, don't go to bed in an argument?
Maybe I understand if I'm like going away for a week or whatever. You don't want to have a blazing row and then I leave. Like, mm-hmm. That wouldn't be allowed.
You wouldn't be allowed to get in the car on an argument because of my death spiral, but that's something else entirely. This thing, like, don't go to bed on an argument, it just assumes that both people have got access to fix it in that moment.
Yeah.
And actually, both of us, if you come from ADHD autistic lens, I'll say it. I'm not afraid to say it. I can be like an emotional roller coaster.
Yes, you can.
And you can be a sort of shut down emotional recluse.
Yeah.
So you've got a shut down emotional recluse, it's in a sort of autistic shutdown, and you've got emotional roller coaster, like ADHD emotional flooding. I don't think it's sensible to like put those to drag you onto the roller coaster.
Oh, it's not even not sensible. It just won't work.
It won't work.
And you have to be regulated.
That's what we're looking for. Yeah. So don't force an argument. If one of you is spiraling, let's try and stop the spiral. If one of you is in shutdown and needs some time alone, go and have some time alone. And what I've noticed with you, sometimes a night of sleep allows you to access logic, whereas you were maybe angry the night before.
Well,
same for me as well.
I think it will be the same for all humans, neurotypical or not, because what you often realize the next day when you wake up is that it doesn't actually matter. Whatever you were arguing about is so relevant and pointless.
It can feel like the most important thing in the moment. You wake up and go, that's a bit silly, wasn't it? So yeah, what's the new neurodivergent, catchy, short, well-written rule?
Well, it's a bit longer than never go to bed angry. Let me just disclaimer, I didn't write it. Never try and solve a problem with a dysregulated brain.
That's bloody gorgeous. What's your problem with that?
I think it could be more succinct.
Go on then.
What?
Go on then.
Only argue regulated.
Yes, all right. It hasn't got the spice level of meat. Right, on to line number three. You ready?
Yeah.
Ooh, this is tasty. Communication is everything.
I mean, communication is important.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate? Because I'm sort of agreeing with it at the moment.
Yeah. So when in that sort of neurotypical framing, communicate, what that means is talk.
Mm.
So like talk, say everything. Talking is good communication. It is not. You have to be understood. We can sit and talk each other and not actually understand what the other one's going through, their motivations, intentions, what they meant, especially if you're coming at it from different sides of a spectrum. It isn't just talking. There needs to be an understanding of like the differences within that. So as a really simple example, let's say we were having a little argument, but you were trying to give me advice and I needed a cuddle.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking, we were communicating, but we weren't being understood.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's making sure that you're really understanding. So if you think about you, autistic brain, literal thinking, logical thinking. Think about me with ADHD. Often emotions are heightened. There might be like RSD triggers in there as well.
Yeah.
You have to take that into account. So it's not just communication, it's listening, understanding as well.
Okay.
Because you often feel very misunderstood by me.
Yes.
In an argument.
Yeah.
Even though you're communicating with me.
Not even in an argument, no, broadly. Like you'll what? You'll think, no, this isn't a bad thing, but you will think that I'm like upset or angry and stuff like that. And I'm not, I'm fine. I'm like, what?
You're just quiet. I'm learning more now. You're just a quiet little sausage.
Oh, I love peace.
Likes a quiet little life and just looking off what you're thinking, nothing. Oh. Bloody lovely. Okay, the very short, sweet, catchy, neurodivergent rule is, oh God, it is long. Don't assume your partner heard what you meant. Check what they actually understood.
Oh my God.
Well, can you help me like then?
Babe, it was great. It was great. That little monologue.
So
that old phrase.
I've got it. Rather than communication is everything, true understanding is everything.
There we go. There you go. All right.
Before we get on to number four, I'm just going to take a very quick break for our amazing sponsor. We are incredibly lucky on the Late Bloomers podcast because our sponsor is the amazing Loop earplugs. If you are neurodivergent, there is a high chance that you might be sensitive to sound. That can mean that going out to a restaurant can be full of distractions, and going to a gig might actually be physically painful for your gorgeous little ears. And luckily for you, there is a pair of Loop earplugs for all of those things. We have put our favourites on our website with Loop earplugs, and you can find it in the show notes of this episode or in our social media bios. Every single one of our listeners gets 20% off, and we really hope that you enjoy it.
Lie number four. They should just know what you need. Oh my God, this one makes me so wildly angry. It's correct. So we're talking mind reading, hints, passive aggressive, like whatever.
I feel like this is a big part of the world.
You should just know.
Like you should just know what I would want for Christmas. You should just know that I would want that window open. It's really so strange, because what is being said is like, you should be a mind reader. You should be psychic.
It's so stupid. Right. So I understand logically why it's a thing, because it's like, if you're really connected and blah, 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 we're as close as we say we are, we should be mind melded and you should just know how I think and feel. Whatever. Like, no, I'm a human, you're a human. Tell me what you want and I'll maybe do it.
I remember I had a friend once, or an acquaintance.
Friend or acquaintance?
Friend, then.
Okay, yeah.
Frenemy. And this friend, you'll know exactly what I mean.
I already know who you mean.
Used to go absolutely mental if she didn't like the Christmas present she was bought by like friends and family.
But they would have been the ones to say, I shouldn't need to tell you what I like as well. Like they'd do both. They wouldn't tell.
Oh no,
someone.
She'd be like, they should know me. I remember once she was bought like this gorgeous set of like skincare, but she was like, it's got a scent in it that I don't like. They should know that's not my vibe. And she like character destroyed someone, this bought presents. And that happened.
Because she was allergic to ginger or something.
I don't even think there was an allergy. I think it was just being a bit of a knob. And I saw that over and over again. And it was like, if it's that important, you need to tell somebody what's important to you. However, I've got to hold my hands up. Right?
You've done this to me. Is that what you're just about to fess up to?
Yes.
You've only ever done it once to me.
The birthday.
Yeah.
I've probably done it. Let's be real, babe. I've probably done it more times and you've just missed the hint. So then I've had to ask. Like in the early days.
Wasn't it easier just asking? Wasn't it? Do you know what I mean?
No. Just asking is easier. There's this sense, I sometimes see it on the internet when it's like, I don't want to have to ask my partner to give me a massage because then it takes away from them actually wanting to do it. So it's like, not only do you want the thing, the gift, the massage, the help with the house, you don't want to have to ask for it.
Mm.
It's like that's part of the gift. Part of it being enjoyed is that it wasn't requested.
Yeah. I understand it, but yeah. It's still ridiculous.
I think it makes it very difficult for autistic people who are literal thinkers, who don't pick up on social clue crumbing.
Well, and it will make it difficult for the people with autistic partners, because good luck knowing what I want. Like, you think I'm angry when I'm not.
Yeah.
So unless you actually speak, then it's not working.
Yeah. You have to speak and you have to, I don't know. It's almost like there's some romance in like mind reading or guessing, but there's just not. If you're neurodivergent, just say it how it is. If you need it, say it.
By the way, for the birthday, just for those that are wondering, because she never really elaborated, she had told me for 5 years solidly that she hated birthdays, never wanted to celebrate it, all that sort of stuff. Then she went to therapy, loads. Therapist said, maybe lean into your birthday. She was like, actually, yeah, this is why I don't celebrate my birthday. Let's celebrate. And then it was like, I want to do something for my birthday. And I'm like, oh, what do you want to do? And it was like, well,
I want to leave it to
decide.
You. Yeah. I wanted you to like throw me a party and do something special.
Yeah, but I was like, what is, are we talking hotel, me and you? No, I want the family, right? But you, I was like, please, please tell me and I'll make it happen. By the way, this was like 72 hours before your actual birthday as well.
It's like 3 days.
That is 72 hours. Exactly. Yeah, exactly 3 days.
That's awkward.
To the hour.
Max, feel free if you want to cut that out. Is that 3 days? Bloody hell.
Okay. So we're agreeing that that's nonsense, yeah? You, what are you doing? This is a podcast.
What's the new rule, darling? What's the neurodivergent catchy rule?
Well, the one that's too long is say clearly and kindly anything you need.
Stunning, gorgeous, clear, kind.
But just a simpler one could be like, just communicate your needs or just say what you want or just ask. Any one of those three is more catchy.
Do you know what? For the next episode, you can come and help me write the cards.
No problem, babe. Thanks for telling me what you need.
Or I'll be going to bed angry. Oh my God, is it the final one?
Yeah.
You ready for line number 5?
Obviously I'm ready.
Oh, this is lovely.
Yeah.
Compromise means meeting in the middle.
That's not what compromise means, but yeah.
What does compromise mean?
Well, compromise means reaching an agreement. It doesn't...
In the middle of two, you're here, I'm here, meet in the middle.
One could be like, it's, yeah. Okay.
It's okay. Is that the autism like?
No, fine. Well, I suppose a good example of this is let's not divide tasks in two. Like, let's not do half the laundry each.
Yes.
Is that, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So basically, it's really easy in a neurotypical partnership for both people to have a similar skill set when it comes to life, business, raising kids, cooking, cleaning, like sort of all, it's like you've got a bit of skill in everything.
Yeah.
For neurodivergent people, there's wild differences.
There is.
In energy levels.
And skill. No, but you, I'm not even
no, go
insulting.
For it.
If you're saying like everyone's maybe 50% skill across the board, you can go from 1% skill.
Laundry.
To, yeah.
Memory.
To 100% skill with creativity and planning and finding hotels and restaurants and stuff.
Spending money. So I'm really good at spending money. I'm really bad at laundry.
Exceptional at spending money.
Let's not take it. But yes, creativity and maybe some other good things as well. But it's effectively moving out from everything has to be 50-50, everything has to be shared. Because if you force that in a neurodivergent relationship, both of you are just going to lose.
So I don't like compromises meeting in the middle. I prefer like shared labor or shared tasks down the middle or something like that.
Yeah, shared tasks down the middle.
Because I think actually...
contributions should be 50-50 in everything.
Yeah. Because I think a good compromise is I'll do the laundry, you think of the video edits. That is a compromise.
Oh, well, we have our own type of compromise.
Yeah.
Which is often one person doing 100% of something, but that's the thing that they can do fairly easily.
Yeah.
It's almost like you build a life that suits your brains and like how you live rather than how you think you're meant to do it.
People on the internet don't grasp that when they watch our videos.
Oh no.
Do they? Like when I do the laundry, they're like, oh, it's not fair. I'm like, no, she does everything of other stuff. Like it's not.
Well, I think it's just very easy to judge situations and people you don't know because sometimes you'll be doing the laundry and the comments are like, she's lazy, she's faking ADHD, weaponized incompetence, this is unfair. But then sometimes there'll be me struggling to clean up or something. And they'd be like, why isn't he helping her? This is misogyny. Yeah. Stop filming her and help. And it's like, whoa, no, like neither one of them's.
It's so funny on the internet. Like there's been videos where I've said to you, like, babe, can you do the washing up? And it's like, how dare you? Like, it's misogyny. I'm like, if only you knew, what are you talking about? misogyny.
I know. But it's easy to get it wrong, isn't it? But it's all about, well, shall I give you my delicious,
oh, I can't wait,
short, catchy, amazingly written new neurodivergent rule?
Yeah, please.
Build a relationship around your brains, not society's expectations.
Yeah. Or divide tasks based skill. On skill.
That's so much better. Damn. Divide tasks by skill. Do you know how much time and energy that would save? But it might look weird because one might be really good at something that isn't expected.
Well, you come up with all the ideas for these podcasts.
And apparently they're rubbish.
Well, no, that just the phrases are a bit bad today. But if I tried to do it, it would take me so much longer. And the same with the laundry. You would need to wash a load 4 times because you would forget about it, whereas I do it once and then take it out.
There is an area, and I think this is a lovely place to finish, that really does show the difference in skill, and that is stacking the dishwasher.
Yeah.
Now, because I am really trying to be more of an active participant in domestic labour. Stop. I am really trying. So I'll like try and clean the kitchen,
yep,
or like put dishes away after, like, and really keep on top of it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't get messy. But what happens is every time I stack the dishwasher, you will come and restack it.
It's not to be mean. It's just so we can fit more stuff in the dishwasher. Because the way that you do it is like, think about Tetris, the game Tetris, yeah, with all the blocks coming down. The way I stack the dishwasher, there's no holes in the blocks. There's no gaps. The way you do it, there's big gaping holes all the way up. So it fills the page quicker. I can get more pieces in there.
It's fair enough. You have a better skill than me.
Yeah.
At that, but it doesn't stop me trying. That's a relationship.
And on that note, that's a close, yeah?
That's a close. We've been the Late Bloomers podcast. If you've had fun, give us a like, a follow, a subscribe, and let us know in the comments what rules do you think are a little bit crazy from the neurotypical world? And have you got some relationship hacks that us neurodivergents need to know? As always, thanks for joining us, and we shall see you next week.